Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast, and hopefully we'll win again very shortly as International Podcast Day approaches September 30th. But today we're talking about our fall TV preview. That's right. We're going to tell you about all the shows that you have no time to watch because you're still watching the stuff from last year, but we're going to tell you about them anyway. Let's get on with the show. As you can tell, my name is not Aaron Peterson. We kicked that guy to the curb because we're just tired of listening to hear him talk all the time because we wanted to give Amanda and Arjun more time here to share their opinions on the show. And so I am Troy Heinrich, sitting in chair one this week, joined by Mr. Arjun himself.
Wait, I have opinions?
Absolutely. Lots
Since
of
when?
Usually just wrong ones.
Oh, damn.
Those opinions can be wrong. I don't, never mind. Hi, Amanda.
No, everyone has opinions. Hello, hello.
It's Amanda throwing shade right out of the gate.
I gotta pick up where Aaron left off, you know?
Is that how it works? Okay.
So. Yeah, somebody's got to continue throwing sarcasm and sass everyone's way.
Well, then I lied. Welcome Arjun and Aaron to the show today.
Oh. Hi, I'm Aaron Peterson.
Oh my gosh, that's so wrong. But so I have to ask the question right out of the gate. Did you all know that the Emmys were on this past Sunday? Because like I had no clue that it even existed.
Not until like 2 days before.
Not until the night of did I know that the Emmys were happening. I was completely shocked. I was on the phone with somebody and I'm like, wait, the Emmys are on right now? They're like, yeah. I'm like, what? How did I miss that?
Okay, I feel bad because I'm usually the TV guy. And the Emmys are something I should probably be aware of. And I'm well aware that they air the Sunday before the fall TV season starts. But I think this is the idea is that the fall TV season doesn't really exist anymore. Do you guys feel that way?
Yeah, I don't even know what seasons are anymore when it comes to TV because I kind of just watch anything as it comes. So, yeah, it's definitely not something that I get excited about anymore.
I love watching TV, but I never get enough time to watch it all. So I end up usually missing the Emmys on the pure fact that the Emmys like to award a good, you know, handful of shows. And those ones typically have some obscurity to at least a couple of them. So I end up missing out of that. And I'll say at least I started watching this year's Emmys on the recording because of who the hosts were. And I will give it to them. They seemed entertaining so far of what I had seen the Levy father and son duo.
Not Levy, Levy. Because Dan was so nice to put it in the show. Yep. That's right. Eugene and Dan were the hosts this year. And I guess this was the year for like people should have been watching because so many records this year at the awards, right? So Eugene and Dan kicked off the show. And then Shogun basically was the shit because it won 18 wins, including the Creative Arts Emmys that happened the week before. It is now the most awarded show in one TV season on the night. That is insane to me.
Which is that's awesome. Incredible. Yeah, that's really cool.
You know, the biggest thing about it is that it's also the first majority non-English language series to win Best Drama. So that is telling of the times.
And it's 2024.
We have finally arrived. Oh my God, so crazy. And then The Bear, also most nominated show in history in one season. They won 4 on the night, including their 11, which basically breaks its own record for comedy Emmys in a single year. So 2 shows basically swept the Emmys this year. That's crazy to me.
That's the one I get a little annoyed at. And that's why the Emmys kind of is a little... feels it's not made for me because like The Bear for comedy, what all I ever hear from people is how that show doesn't make them laugh. They enjoy it, but it doesn't make them laugh. What is going on here?
Yeah, I think it's very much like any award show where it's like where you place your award nomination into the thing, into the category or whatever, because that's where you're submitting it to. And then after that, people have to decide if they want to keep it in or not. So if they want to present it as a comedy, I guess they can present it as a comedy. Just like we could present The Hollywood Outsider as an entertainment podcast or a TV and film podcast. We could be in both categories for the podcast awards if we wanted to, but I don't think of The Bear as a comedy at all. I mean, it's good. It's funny sometimes, but it's also serious sometimes. It's more dramedy than anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify it as a comedy.
Although I don't know if there's much comedy out there anymore that you would see that's pure comedy, that's not like your standard single camera, two camera setup in a studio on like CBS or something. I don't know if anybody else feels
I'm actually currently looking it up just so that I can respond to that. Outstanding comedy series. Let's see the ones. Okay, Abbott Elementary. That's a comedy. That's a sitcom. The Bear, we just talked about that. Curb Your Enthusiasm, definitely a comedy. Hacks, comedy. Only Murders in the Building, that's a comedy. Palm Royale, comedy. Reservation Dogs, comedy. What We Do in the Shadows, comedy. One of these things is not like the others.
Well, I would say
one of these things is very different from the others.
Maybe two. Only Murders in the Building is probably two. It's funny, but it does have more drama element than comedy element compared to the other things nominated in that category.
I don't know. That's the one I could see a little bit. Like, I do see both sides, but it's more believable from the comedic element because they're constantly actively integrating comedy into as many scenes as possible.
Oh my God. I don't know if anybody's seen the current season. There was one joke that was so bad for Only Murders in the Building. I don't want to give it away, but
no, I haven't seen it yet.
When you see it, you can't miss it. It is like, I swear, I don't know if they wrote this person's name in season one just to make this joke land three seasons later, but it was like, oh my God, I cannot believe they just made that joke.
And it was bad.
I mean,
bad as in good, bad as in bad.
It was definitely a groaner, but it was like, oh my God, I can't believe that actually works. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, now I'm looking forward to
also,
that.
Also, Jodie Foster, of all people, wins her first Emmy ever as a TV star.
What do you mean, of all people? What are you trying to say about Jodie Foster?
I'm just saying, I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Like, be careful when you say things like that.
There was respect behind the Foster name.
Yes. Like, I cannot believe it has taken this long for Jodie Foster to win for True Detective. Right. So congratulations to Jodie. That's super awesome.
Yeah. I haven't loved True Detective since season one. I think that's the best season of the entire show.
Well, sure.
Of all seasons, you know, it's beautifully done. It's amazing as far as the story they're telling, how gorgeous it looks and how engrossed in the environment you get, because you just can't escape it. I almost feel cold watching it. So here in Florida, when I want to feel cold, I'll put that show on just so that I feel like I have a little bit of air conditioning or something that I don't normally have.
That's a weird way to put it, but sure.
That's a John way to put it.
If his air conditioning doesn't work, you put it on the TV. That works that way.
I don't want to run up my power bill. I just go ahead and turn on the TV, you know?
West Wing, the West Wing cast showed up, 25th anniversary for them. I thought that was pretty cool. Dooley up there with the rest of the cast, except for Bradley Whitford, who was shooting a movie somewhere in Europe. So that was kind of sad to not see Bradley up there. And also Steve Martin, Selena, all standing up on stage presenting their award. And I could just say, like, can we get them to host the Oscars next year? Like, all three of them? Because their whole bit
would be adorable.
Their whole bit was awesome. And of course, we saw all this on the replay, not actually like live, because we didn't know the Emmys were actually on.
Even when I did realize, like, or I saw a post, I think, in our Facebook group about it a couple days before, I forgot immediately. So by the time it rolled around, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Those are tonight.
That is so crazy.
One of the things that I loved a lot about the stuff that I was watching later through Instagram and some of the YouTube clips was rugby player from the Olympics, Ilona Maher, was on the red carpet interviewing people and just watching people fawn all over her as she's enjoying she's not necessarily as big of a celebrity as some of these people out there, but they just love so much that she was there, especially after the bronze medal that the rugby team got. That was a lot of fun to watch her enjoying her moment.
That is cool. Anything else on the Emmys before we move on? All right. Well, just a reminder that our show is independently funded, and you can go to Patreon. That's Patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Donate some money over there. It helps keep the show going. We really appreciate it. You get all kinds of things like Bad Movie Night. You also get our special bonus episode every month. So make sure you head on over to Patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Go ahead and throw a few bucks in the kitty. We'd really, really appreciate it, because we got to pay for all kinds of TVs in order to watch all the stuff that is coming out this fall. So let's go ahead and get on with our From the Outside In topic. Fall TV used to be my favorite time of year. And now I don't watch a single thing, I think, on broadcast television, except for that show that we shall not name, right, Amanda? Because they have us held hostage.
Don't even start. Don't even start.
You know what's funny is I was trying to find something to watch last night that I didn't have to fully pay attention to, but I knew would like kind of keep me interested. And I guess just kind of passed time. And I was so close to looking up Grey's Anatomy to see where it was at.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, maybe I should just hop back on. It's like a very crazy lifelong addiction. And you just like slowly start to taper back. You're like, it wasn't so bad, was it? And then you get on it again and you're like, wow, my skin's falling off. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have done this.
That heroin is just pumping into my veins. Like, is there a season where they do addiction stuff? Because I need to get off this tray.
Yeah, there's really better things you can do to yourself than watch that anymore. It's like 2,100 yeah. seasons of that show, or it feels like it. I've never seen an episode. I just know that somehow every other month we bring up that stupid show. And I'm slobbering all over myself just saying how stupid it is.
I mean, I was going to get the tattoo when it hit 400, because I don't think I've ever watched 400 episodes of anything, because 90210 only went like 300 something. So like they hit 430 episodes as of the May finale. Like that is just a lot of TV.
I wonder how much time total we've spent watching Grey's Anatomy if you were to include any like rewatches.
Let's put it this way.
Holy crap.
The kids who were conceived and born the year that show came out can now drink. Think about that. They can vote, they can drink, they can buy a gun, they can do everything they want to do. That is insane.
That's a very long time. Yeah, when you put it that way, that's a very long time for a
television
show.
John would be incorrect. I know you're surprised by this fact. But John would be incorrect, because Grey's Anatomy
seasons.
Grey's Anatomy's first started March 27th in 2005. So not quite yet. They can vote, but they can't drink.
Either way, the voting is nuts. But the fact stands that John is usually a detail or two off from the truth.
Hey, it's not my fault. 21 seasons to them is it's 21 seasons, right? How many seasons is this?
I lost track of the season count, because it's like half seasons and short seasons and all that other BS, and it's 430 episodes. It's a lot of damn TV. That's all I know. At least the good news is that we don't have to worry about Grey's Anatomy right now, because it's a returning show again. We're going to talk about all the new stuff that you want to watch this fall, which is going to be the best part of the episode this week. So each of our hosts have picked a few TV series themselves, and we're going to go through, and Amanda's going to present her slate. Our John's going to submit his slate, and then I'll go ahead and submit mine. But I think what we should do is we should actually talk about Aaron's recommendations first and foremost, because he had a couple on here that he wanted to make sure got mentioned.
I stole two of them, Troy. So only one of them really needs to be called out, but I'll give Aaron his props, I suppose, when I get to them.
Which pisses me off, because I was going to pick this one and I left it for Aaron so that Aaron could have credit in this episode for something.
Hey, do you want to do a little swaparoo? I'll trade you one. I'll trade you one for the one you know I want.
Oh, no. No, so we stole all of Aaron's stuff because we didn't want to do any work on this podcast, and just left Aaron with one recommendation.
Wait, you guys stole all of Aaron's stuff.
Just mostly me.
Mostly Amanda. I didn't steal any of Aaron's. I stole Amanda's because I knew she was going to pick it. And I was like, nope, she snoozed, she lose. I'm taking that show.
I did snooze.
You know, overall, though, did anyone have trouble picking their shows that they wanted to watch from what's coming out that's new this year?
I have to say, I was like, as I was looking through everything that was coming out, nothing really grabbed me as like super impressive to be like, ooh, I have to watch that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I had like there's three that I think
was a very meh.
Yeah.
A very meh.
Or like things that were like repetitive to each other. Like it was like, oh, mm-hmm. we're going to do a rom-com this year. It was like, how many people are doing the same concepts across all of these networks that we have now? Like it was kind of scary when you think about it.
I also noticed that there were several shows that were just like new seasons, returning shows rather than new shows. And this may be, you know, where we're really starting to see the impact of those strikes.
Yeah, because that's kind of my first question. Like, do you feel like the fall has been impacted by the strike? Or do you feel like this stuff has been in the works and they were holding some stuff back because they knew they had to backport? What do you say, Arjun? Do you feel that the strike has impacted the fall season, even though we don't believe in the fall season anymore?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that it's likely. I'm not going to definitely go one way or the other because I'll likely be wrong also. But hey, it's very likely. We had a strange movie season this summer. We're going to have a strange season for shows this fall. So that's very likely, I would say.
I think some of these were already in the works. I think that's going to be more towards the winter into spring where we're going to probably see a little bit more of a lull. Would be my guess.
Yeah, I think this is like the first glimpse of, you know, not the first glimpse, but really like the most notable. Like
the 15th glimpse.
The most notable impact, right? Like, because fall TV season is your biggest TV season. So you want to have your entire repertoire that are like the good shows ready to go, ready to release, ready to premiere, whether it's streaming or cable. And so this is like prime time. And so seeing this time of season starting to be impacted, I agree with Troy. I think as we continue through the next year, we'll continue to see some of that lag.
Or keep an eye on episode counts, because usually there's like that front nine, you get the front 13 and then you pick up the back nine, you know, for the broadcast channels. So it'd be interesting to see if they keep episode counts down because the strike impacted when they were able to shoot, film, write, all that fun stuff. But Aaron really wants people to know that he's jumped on the Apple TV Plus bandwagon because I saw that he picked...
Oh, interesting.
Well, I saw that he picked the show and I was like, why did he take my show? Because this was my show because it was on Apple TV Plus. But Aaron's like, no, it's my show. But we have a disclaimer, which is going to be coming to Apple TV Plus on October 11th. We have an immense facility to create judgments, but there's a pleasure about it. That's what writer-director Alfonso Cuarón says about the inspiration behind the scintillating revenge thriller starring Cate Blanchett as a world-famous journalist whose secret past is exposed in the pages of a sexually explicit self-published novel. Kevin Kline plays the old-timer who prints the book, determined to inflict punishment on the woman he blames for his son's long-ago death. But is his story exactly true? It hardly matters in the end because Blanchett's character finds herself publicly shamed and marked for destruction nonetheless. So I'm super excited because like Cate Blanchett, like TV stalwart, right? She's done some stuff also from Lord of the Rings fame, but Kevin Kline coming over to the small screen doing some stuff. I think this is going to be interesting. What say you all?
I love that Alfonso is the writer director. I think that he'll add an interesting element to it just based on some of the things that he's done before. Obviously, I know a lot of people know him from Roma, but he also did the best Harry Potter film. So there's that for him. But the thing that I guess I have some reservation about is, are they going to play this fair? Do you know what I mean by that?
Expand.
There's going to be a lot of this that's focusing on what is true, what's not potentially, but it seems like the story is really focusing potentially more on the media destruction and being publicly shamed rather than maybe potentially the truth in the story? Like, is it going to go political, I guess, is what I'm saying. This is the time where things can get political. It's coming out right before an election. Is this going to be more about, like, public shame and the way people can manipulate that versus, oh, yeah, this is something that, you know, is genuinely happening and we're focusing on the issue itself?
I can see that. Thoughts on this one from you, Arjun?
I just want to echo that Alfonso is really the big draw for me on this one. Cate Blanchett's amazing, as always. Kevin Kline also great. So, but Alfonso is what really draws me into this because of the background he has on what he's created and what he's been a part of. And his visual style is just gorgeous. So, yeah, that's it.
I mean, if they could keep that kind of presumed innocent kind of flavor going, like a lot of people jumped on the Apple TV Plus bandwagon for that show. So if this can keep that same kind of like
Apple TV Plus, that means they're paying Troy a dollar. He just said it again.
That's right. I just got my new iPhone, so I got to make sure I get that payment check back, right?
He gets discounts on like new devices. That shit would be wild.
That'd be amazing. I think bringing all those people that came onto the service for the summer, keeping those people, you know, acquired, attracted, all that, like this is right up that alley, I think. So it's going to be a great shift for the fall. Definitely. That was the only one that Aaron had left, because Amanda is going to tell us about all the ones that Aaron picked and then maybe one or two that she thought was good.
My first one should be no surprise to anyone. And I know it's not a surprise because Troy literally wrote it in the, either Troy or Aaron wrote it into the format with Aaron. It already selected under my name.
It was Aaron.
I'll take credit.
What a beautiful human.
I'll take credit as a distraction technique. So I could have taken the other one that she wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Thief. But Agatha All Along is set after the events of WandaVision, where Agatha Harkness recruits some unlikely allies on her quest to regain her former powers. It's premiering on Disney Plus on September 18th. So you know where you can find me today if you're listening to the episode as it's being released.
She has confidence I'm going to get this edited and pushed out on the normal schedule.
Sucker. I do have faith in you.
We will. It will be out on time. Yes. Premiere day for Agatha. I'll be honest. I loved me some WandaVision, and not because of the reasons that Amanda loved it, obviously, but I thought it was a very creative way to tell a story and keep that kind of Marvel's, you know, the 10 years that we went along with the ride and everything, keeping that going. I thought it was a really fantastic show and concept idea. Agatha was great as a villain on that show. I don't need to see her in her own thing. I'm sorry. She's just not interesting enough to carry a show, I don't think. I could be wrong.
I don't think you're fully wrong, and I think that's why we're seeing so many other allies joining up with her to share screen time. And the other thing that I believe that this will do is it's also part of developing and expanding on the story to link it back with the movies. And, you know, just knowing, for those who don't know what Troy is referencing when we talk about what I love about the show, or this like connected world, it is Scarlet Witch. And I think that there's a lot more. Well, I know there's a lot more that can happen with these stories. And I love the potential that exists to explore this world a bit deeper.
I like the cast that's coming with this. You have Audrey Plaza, who is somebody that I have a huge crush on in Hollywood. I think you love deeply. Yeah, she's amazing. She cracks me up. She's probably unhinged in all the most beautiful ways. She scares me a little bit as an actor and as a person. Catherine Hahn,
which you enjoy,
which I do enjoy. It's like
them fetishes.
Yeah, one of these days I'm gonna learn that I shouldn't touch the hot stove. It's not gonna be Catherine Hahn is always great. I've not seen her in anything that I haven't been completely drawn to her, and I really enjoy everything she does, comedically, seriously, all the things that she does is beautiful. And I just noticed that Emma Caulfield is in the cast too. They know what they're doing.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
Well, now you piqued my interest.
Oh, that's all it took?
Well, for those who don't know, Emma Caulfield has a long history from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show.
I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Emma do something. I'd be down to see what she can bring to this.
She's done a little bit like of indie work, I know, over the years. So it'll be exciting to see her get back onto some high visibility and kind of where she's at with her trajectory.
She was great in Buffy. Like her career should have gone
phenomenal. Anya, if you guys are not familiar. Yeah.
That's true. We should talk in character names, probably. There are people that do not follow the real people as closely as we do.
Yeah.
They are real people, by the way, everyone. Just remember. Don't sit outside their house like John does.
Please don't. Yeah.
I don't. What? Why me? Why is it me?
Speaking of women that John could potentially stalk, Tomb Raider is going to be coming out with a TV series. It's Icon. Is going from the 1996 video game iteration and moving into the Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft. It's an animated series and continues the story of the trilogy of games that were recently released. We are going to see her doing some tomb raiding. And we've got Hayley Atwell, who voices Lara Croft. And so that part I'm also particularly excited about because I think she'll do a phenomenal job. And this one premieres on Netflix Thursday, October 10th.
Yeah, I would pay to listen to her read a phone book. So I'm in.
Well, I know you didn't steal this one from Aaron because Aaron doesn't watch animated stuff. So
that is correct. These first two are both my own.
But I know he likes Hayley Atwell, so maybe he would give this one a go. I'm not sure.
It's a cartoon.
He will not.
He's going to play it on his phone with it turned over on so that way he can't see the screen and it's just playing her voice. That's probably what will happen and he'll fall asleep to it.
There you go. My only concern is I like that it's continuation of the video games. However, are people going to be turned off from that because they think they have to play the video games to understand the show? Or will the show stand for itself and then people will want to go back and play the video games as the prequel kind of thing?
I think it's done so well over the years, keeping its name active with each generation, whether it's a new video game or it's a new movie or it's just, somehow getting brought back into the ethers. It doesn't ever feel like Tomb Raider has really ever gone away. They're very strategic about keeping it alive. So I don't think that the name recognition will really be a problem from that standpoint. And I also feel like the people who are willing to watch animated series are likely people who have played the games or know at least a little bit about Tomb Raider. So I think they have a good chance. Their biggest hurdle, in my opinion, is going to be video game adaptations historically are not great.
But I think they could be better when done in an animation sense versus live action
100%,
sense.
100%. But does everybody else think that way is the question, right?
They probably also are just continuing to make Tomb Raider stuff because they don't want it to fall back into public domain and then people really do things with their boobs that are ridiculous compared to what they were in the video game originally.
That's probably true. Although I really prefer the boobs of the 90s, the triangles. Those in particular feel like the most realistic depiction.
I mean, we learned from Madonna. I suppose that's true.
That is true.
Personally, I really liked Alicia Vikander in when she did the Tomb Raider movie.
She's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why they're just not leveraging her voice in this and why they went with Hayley. That's the thing I'm
wondering
understand.
If they just don't want people to think that they're connected worlds because they're still continuing with that film.
I hope so.
World.
Been waiting for it.
Right.
I'd love to see another one.
Yeah, I was I think they have something, but it's also been a few years.
Yeah.
But didn't they have a significant delay with the next one coming out or something?
Correct. So, yeah. Crossing fingers. What else you got?
All right. So, this is one I did steal from Aaron, but also I'm very excited about and I'm glad that I did get to steal it. High Potential is coming to ABC on September 17th. Caitlin Olson is a single mom with an exceptional mind whose unconventional knack for solving crimes leads to an unusual partnership with a by-the-book detective. It's in Aaron's words, it's psych for moms. Rob Thomas, who was the creator, writer for Veronica Mars, directed several episodes, was originally the showrunner for this. And that got me really excited when I first read that. And then I continue reading and we find out that he left and it is now Todd Harthen. I have no issue with it being somebody else. I just would have really loved to see another Rob Thomas iteration into this detective world with a female lead. I think it could have been really cool to see how he maybe does things differently or what he keeps and we see from Veronica Mars, but I'll still watch it either way.
Or we could just bring back Veronica Mars again.
Or we could do that. But then, you know, you have like 90% of the fan base that's like, but you have to deal with Logan.
Or we don't. Wink, wink.
Or don't.
Yeah, no, I think this is great. Rob Thomas is amazing in the most of the stuff that he does. So I would watch anything Rob Thomas puts out. Olsen looks funny and witty. The whole bit with the baby is great. Judy Reyes is here from Scrubs. So like this has got all the things that I would normally look for in a show. I mean, I'm a little leery because it's ABC. I'm a little leery because it's network TV. So getting hooked back into that is a little bit challenging for me because I've kind of sworn off my broadcast stuff after Blacklist ended. So, but it will be on Hulu because, you know, that's where all the ABC stuff goes the next day. So I'll give this one a go. I think I'll check out the first couple episodes and see how it is.
I was looking up, Todd Harthman's, Harthen's pedigree. And it's not a terrible pedigree. He's a producer on Psych for a while, Gravy, Rosewood.
The Resident. Oh, okay. So he's got a lot of affiliation to the boys. Yeah. To the fellas.
Yeah. So he's got
psych fellas.
He's got some chops that might make it work. So I'm not too worried about Rob Thomas not being involved. You know,
still invested.
He can go play with Matchbox 20 all he wants.
Not that Rob different Thomas. Different.
What? They're different that's not one. The same one?
No. They both have the same name, but different people.
It's a great there's a bit from iZombie where they make fun of it in one of the seasons. So that's why I said it.
That's fine. It's 3 a.m. and you're lonely. We get it.
That's
my
true.
Next it's one late. Is all sorry. Well, my next one is also stolen from Aaron. This one, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not as excited. I mean, maybe I'll watch it just because Kathy Bates is in it, but just because I wasn't wild about original. Anyway, Matlock premieres on September 22nd on CBS. And I know Aaron is very excited for this and loved the original Matlock. I know he's always down for a good legal procedural. It is a reboot of the 1986 Andy Griffith classic, but this new Matlock is Kathy Bates, Madeline Matlock, in what she claims will be her final acting performance before retiring. As a woman who rejoins the workforce in her 70s at a prestigious law firm, there's a lot more to Maddie, though, than meets the eye. One of the things that entices me about that is I'm very curious how they're going to, you know, what things she's going to encounter and endure, what they're going to show from like working at that age, which is very different. You know, we didn't used to have that experience, but here we are today in 2024.
Well, it's because everybody has to work when they're 70 now because inflation and all that fun stuff.
Exactly. But I love Kathy Bates. She's phenomenal in everything that she does. And if this is going to be her last performance, then I think everybody owes it to her to watch it. So Matlock is premiering again on September 22nd on CBS. What say you, fellas?
So Arjun, Matlock was probably playing, you know, to somebody when Amanda was, you know, baking in the womb and probably,
I don't even think I was baking yet.
did you watch Matlock back in the day, Arjun?
No, because I like to chew my food.
I don't think... Oh my gosh. You cannot use that. That's terrible.
No, you could use that. That's fine. Matlock was just not the show for me. So no, I never watched it. And this is one of those ones where I'm like, I don't know why anyone's really excited about this, but okay, I'll let you all have it.
Hey, courtroom procedurals, I think always do really well. especially if they're still airing on the same network that they were airing on the first time it came around. Thank you, CBS, for, you know, making what's old new again. Yeah, it did what it was supposed to do back in the day. It was interesting, entertaining, case of the week kind of thing. So I'm curious, probably much like Aaron, will this stay more procedural, courtroom type TV, or will they start weaving in like all the drama and all the soap opera and all of that stuff that you get from a modern day broadcast show today? If they can keep that stuff out of it, I think it'd be a really great way to look at it, to have, you know, a strong female power attorney kind of thing. And in having it be Kathy Bates in her final potential performance ever of her career, I think that's something worth probably picking up an episode or two for.
So my last one, I'm very excited about. It is giving us a good old Good Place reunion between Mike Schur and Ted Danson, because they're teaming up for A Man on the Inside, which is a comedic take on the Oscar-nominated documentary The Mole Agent. It follows an older man played by Ted Danson who was hired by a private detective to be a mole in a nursing home. This also has Mary Elizabeth Ellis and Stephanie Beatrice who star in Man on the Inside, and I'm very, very much looking forward to, one, having Schur and Danson team back up, because Good Place was phenomenal. I think Schur is such a phenomenal, he's a great series creator and writer and director. He knows how to guide his teams into a very entertaining, heartfelt, very enjoyable and lightweight type of content, which I don't think is an easy feat to make it consistently. Like, I'm engaged in what the show is giving me constantly. So between that and the comedic element of having someone be a mole in a nursing home, I'm very, very excited for this.
Yeah, no, that's, it seems like a lot of fun. I almost made my list, but I decided to leave some things for other people to enjoy and talk about. I do like Stephanie Beatrice that's in this, and Mary Elizabeth Ellis is also fantastic. I'll give it my three episode rules. Three episodes in, see if I like it or not, and see if I want to continue.
I mean, I am the person that I'm like 50-50 on the Mike Schur shows personally. Like, I enjoy occasionally a few episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I occasionally enjoy a few episodes of Parks and Rec. Of course, I love The Office, Good Place. I watched the first season.
Weirdo.
I know. My wife and all her friends, they're like the Mike Schur fan club. I'm like, you know, it's okay. Probably because The Office was just so good and I got spoiled the first time around, so I didn't have to watch anything else. But you know, this has potential. It could be interesting having someone that has literally been in two different nursing homes in the last year. I find it very interesting because I like, oh, what is going on in this place? Like, who is on staff and who is walking around? And I ask a lot of questions because my mom is now in that place. And I'm just like, this seems like this could be absolutely full of like funny capers. This, just moving her into the place was like a circus. So I can only imagine what you could do comedic wise with like, who parked in my parking spot and who left the garage door open.
And how fun to make, like, not to make light of those situations, but to make them more relatable and like collective from the experience.
All right. So looking back, we have Netflix, ABC, CBS, Netflix, Disney. Okay. So you're pretty across the board.
I didn't have any Apple TV Plus, but if they want to discount my phone, then I absolutely will include it as all six. Everything they come out with. It's weird. Apple TV Plus seems to be my only subscription anymore.
All right. Moving over to John. What do you got for us there, buddy?
All right, so coming out on September 19th, which is the day after Agatha, it was Agatha All Along, comes out, is on HBO or Max or whatever it is you want to call the channel anymore, because I don't have any sort of clue. It's The Penguin. This is a follow-up to the Matt Reeves Batman show, or Batman's movie, from 2002, and it focuses on Oz Cobb, the Penguin, who is going to be the amazing actor that you can barely see under all that makeup, and it still looks real, Colin Farrell. I can't lie, I don't really care, but Aaron put this on the list for me to talk about, and so I was going to go ahead and talk about it, but Also, why don't I go ahead and open the floor to you guys. Is this a show that you guys really need?
I think we talked about this not that long ago, too. And I'll say, is it something I need? No, but it is something that I want to watch. I'm willing to check it out. I'm going to give it a go. I think that there's always potential, and I don't want to nix its potential. I think Colin Farrell does a great job, and it's just a matter of basically how entertaining and enjoyable can they make that character and the story around it when he's typically a character you despise. So how are we going to root for him and stand beside him, if that makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, I get it. What about you, Troy?
I mean, for a long time, HBO Max was like my go-to service. Like, it was number one on my spot on my Apple TV, even ahead of Apple TV Plus, if you can believe it. And I just feel like HBO is kind of like, I don't know, falling away, or they're doing the bare minimum just to kind of keep the brand alive at this point. So to kind of re-infuse the DC brand into this, I think is a good move for them. Timing of it is like, looks like, oh, look at that. We're riding Marvel's coattails once again. So you got that going for it. But Colin Farrell played an amazing Penguin in the Batman movie from 2022. So the fact that he's coming back, the fact that, you know, it's going to be some interesting stories that we never really see about the Penguin specifically, and diving a little more deeper into that, I think that's interesting. It's a shame that it's not going to be part of the James Gunn extended DC universe. But who knows if this is like a planned launching point for that or something. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm intrigued. I don't understand why they're dropping it in the middle of the week and not on a Monday or Sunday, typical HBO drop kind of thing.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit weird. My next show that I want to talk about is on November 19th on Hulu. It's Interior Chinatown. It's based off of Charles Wu's 2020 novel of the same name. The story follows Willis Wu, a background character in a fictional procedural called Black and White, who dreams of becoming something much bigger, but his plans are halted when he accidentally witnesses a crime. If the show is anything like the novel, people are anticipating heavy explorations of themes that include identity, racism, and the American dream, and stars Jimmy O. Yang as Willis Wu, Ronnie Cheung as Fatty Choi, and then one of my favorite people or to watch on TV, Chloe Bennett, is making a return to television, and that's going to looks like a very interesting show. Troy?
I mean, when you're going to adapt a book, adapting book to movie, much more challenging because you have such a short runtime for what the book can do. When you move it into the TV series, it makes it gives it that space that it needs. I'll be interested to see if they do most of the book and then go on their own way, or if they do part of the book and then do another part of the book for the next season. It's definitely an interesting concept of taking, you know, an actor doing this fictional procedural and then going ahead and accidentally seeing a crime and then having to follow that whole thing as they're actually doing a crime. The concept of it is good. The adaptation part is going to be what's going to make or break this, depending on how many fans of the novel actually bring knowledge to the show and fans to the show when it airs on, November 9th, November 19th on Hulu.
I said that.
Yeah.
Amanda?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I mean, it definitely sounds like it could be interesting whenever there's an adaptation, especially with something that's so, I guess, important of a topic is the language I'll use and like how that gets portrayed, how that gets adapted. We know we've talked about before, book adaptations can make it difficult for you to really get the full experience that you were getting prior. And so I can definitely see this being something that is, you know, either hit or miss, just depending on how well understood the original property is and how they get that across.
Yeah, I think most people remember Chloe from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it was
That's
probably
right.
The most current thing she was probably in. So, yeah.
All right. So following that, I'm going to go ahead and talk about airing by the time you've listened to the show, American Sports Story, the Aaron Hernandez story. This is going to be another one of these Ryan Murphy jams. It's a 10 episode anthology series that dives into the rise and fall of Aaron Hernandez, who went from small town football player to the NFL star. where he played for the Patriots, and then he went to prison for murder, ultimately his own death. This series examines what led to his arrest and his decision to take his own life. This is a pretty interesting story because of the connotations with what of things like traumatic brain injury or even concussions that happened from playing football, the kind of things that this guy went through growing up with his family. If they dive into a lot of this, you're going to see a pretty interesting story. I hope they don't air this as anything less than what he is, which he really is the villain of his own story, but I hope they tell the whole story. But I think they will, because if you watch the OJ series that they did the best they could to depict that exactly as it happened, or at least to not make anyone who wasn't a hero look like a hero.
That one was great, by the way, from like a documentary standpoint. Documentary? I literally cannot speak.
It's okay. This, I know, I get it. It's late for you.
That's
it's
also late. I don't know why that's just this week. I mean, I thought it was most of the time.
Also, I love that John's like, oh, it's a late for you, tap, tap, tap. And he's 2 hours ahead of me. It's only 8 o'clock for me. And I am sitting over here struggling to stay awake like the grandmother I am. But this is a very tragic story. They've done it well before. So my curiosity with it is, am I going to get anything new out of this story? Am I going to get anything that gives me a different perspective? Or how are they going to... what are they going to tell that hasn't been told already?
And I think that's the challenge, right? How do they make this feel new? How do they make this feel fresh? Especially since the American Sports Story, this one is the first of 6 series that's going to be coming from Ryan Murphy. And this one in particular is going to be created by Stuart Zuckerman, who did The Americans and The Affair. So from that perspective, I think the storytelling aspect coming from Stuart, I think it'll be very interesting to see how he puts the story together. So I think from that perspective, we're actually going to be really interested, right? Hernandez himself is Josh Rivera, right? Musical theater performer, starred in Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. And he's with the national touring company Hamilton. So strong acting, strong writing in the background.
Great actor.
I think this has really good potential. Everybody should at least check out a couple episodes. I mean, it's only 10. So wait till all 10 are out, watch the whole thing. It'll be interesting to see how well they do it to keep it real and at the same time not make it too stylized or commercial.
Mm-hmm. All right, so following that, I have something that I am pretty excited about. It's going to come out sometime in November. They aren't sure. They haven't nailed down a date yet. It's going to be on Max, and it's Dune Prophecy. This is going to be something that's set 10,000 years before the events of Dune and the ascension of Paul Atreides. This new spinoff series follows two Harkonnen sisters who combat forces that threaten the future of humankind and establish the fabled sect known as the Bene Gesserits. This series is inspired by Brian Herbert, who is Frank Herbert's son, and Kevin J. Anderson, who is a very well-known sci-fi writer. The original story that it's going to be based off of is Sisterhood of Dune. What do you guys think?
I mean, I watched the Dune movie and its prequel, right? The prequel was a snooze fest, so I don't know if the prequel of the prequel is going to be any good, because, oh my God, the first Dune movie was so bad. Second Dune movie is great. First Dune movie, snooze fest. So if this has the action of the second movie, I'm all in. If it's going to be like the first movie and it's going to be a whole bunch of like boring history, House of the Dragon. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Before there's any action, then it might not be so great, but I'm all for the female empowerment side of things. Like, I think this is interesting to see badass females doing fight and stunts and all that good stuff. Like, I am down for that any day of the week.
Yeah, that part is great. I have only seen Dune Part 1, and so I don't have great perspective on the story. And so I would say right now, zero interest. Maybe based on this conversation, I'll give Dune Part 2 a try. Maybe I'll enjoy it more and have different feelings. But yeah, that first one, oof.
Okay. My next show coming up on October 10th on Peacock is Teacup, which is going to star Yvonne Strahovski and Scott Speedman, Kathy Baker, and a whole lot of other people. It might end up being something more to the tune as the anthology series, but this is coming from us, from the great mind behind The Conjuring, which if you want to listen to a good episode of a podcast on the movie The Conjuring and the events that inspired it, there's a little show called Inspired by a True Story that will be coming back to us in October and releasing a new episode soon as we start our second season. I don't know where you're going to find it. Maybe in your usual podcast provider. I don't know who's on the show. Maybe it's
almost like it may be, correct, John, I don't know for sure, but so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that it was part of the Hollywood Outsider Network.
Ooh, you know what? I think you might be right.
I saw it on the website the other day, so you might be onto something.
We might be onto something. So if you're a fan of true crime and or stories that are that inspire television and movies, check out that show. That's that plug for our other show and moving right along. So from James Wan, the mind behind The Conjuring, Megan, and is going to be the showrunner. Oh, I'm sorry. He's going to be the showrunner, as well as with Ian McCulloch comes the horror thriller about a family trapped in a farm in rural Georgia. If anyone's been in Georgia, you know being trapped on anywhere in Georgia sucks. And everyone must unite to with their neighbors to fight off a mysterious deadly threat. All right, guys, what do you guys think?
I mean, I know a lot about rural Georgia from The Walking Dead, so I know that that's not a fun place to be. But you said Yvonne Strahovski and Scott Speedman, and I was like, done. I'm in. I'm here for it. I'm excited.
You literally just had to say James Wan for me, and I was like, done.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a horror person.
Yvonne's great. Scott Speedman, I can take or leave. But yeah, Yvonne's great.
But see, if Scott's doing this, then he's not going to be back on Grey's Anatomy. So that's a good thing. Because Scott can do better than Grey's Anatomy, and he can do better than Meredith. Okay, I'm done now.
Wait, which one is this? Who is this?
This is Ben from Felicity.
Oh.
Or also from season 3 of You, The Next Door Neighbor.
So specific. Hey. Troy is a walking TV encyclopedia. It's ridiculous.
Some days. Like Yvonne is amazing. Like, I have been dying for Handmaid's Tale to come back because of where they left it off. If you could put Yvonne back on the screen, I'd rather she be in a 24 reboot. This will be great. I'm excited to see what this is about. There's not enough in the teaser trailer to give anything away. I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with this.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
I'm really bringing back in 24, the reboot.
Okay. Moving right along, my final show is coming out on October 3rd on the CW, which is going to be the only CW show that I would give it a try to.
I was going to say, is it connected to Supernatural somehow? What is going on?
Yeah, I wish it was, but it's not. It's a show called Joan, and it stars Sophie Turner and Frank Delaney. And it's a show that they purchased from ITV, which is one of the broadcasters in England. And it tells the story of a businesswoman and a jewel thief fighting to get her daughter back from a social services. It just looked looked very interesting to me when I saw the information on it, and it's got Sophie Turner, so I'd like to see what else she can do besides, what she did on Game of Thrones.
I don't know. It just doesn't get me going, and Sophie Turner was not one of my favorite parts of Game of Thrones. I know everybody loves her. I think she's she became a much better actress by the end, but I just don't think she has a wide range of talent. So it doesn't draw me in innately for that either. I will defer to John's opinion after he sees some of it and will make a decision from there.
I'll probably get the hate mail because they already slammed House of Dragon on this show, but I didn't think Sophie Turner was really that great of an actress. I think she grew into the character.
Oh my God!
She grew into the character over time, right? Like, she got there eventually. But it's like, mm-hmm. You know, she just looks like, I don't know, she looks like a wet blanket sometimes that I can't get behind and take her seriously as an actress. So I watched the trailer. It seemed interesting enough because I like the jewel thief concept behind it and what she's doing in order to, you know, go from place to place to place in order to make the money she needs to make in order to get the things she needs to get. Like, the concept of the show seems great. But every time I saw Sophie, I was just like, oh my God, it's her. And she just doesn't look right. And then they have her wearing wigs and different makeup and different styles. And I was like, where's Jennifer Garner when you need her? We can just do Alias over again and this would be fine.
Get over it. Jesus.
Never. Never.
For God's sakes, he holds
grudges.
Never. I mean,
oh my God.
And then this is the best part. When I was done watching the trailer, it was like coming to the CW. And I was like, what? That is not a CW show. There's no pretty people in here. There's no sex in here. What is the CW doing? Like, this should not be. This is a Hulu show or an FX show. This is not a CW show. Like, what is happening?
Well, you're right. It's not a CW show. They bought it from England. But can you stop with the whole, like, let me find a way to bring this back over to... I don't even want to say the name of the show anymore because you're just gonna find a way to bring it back to that.
I mean, they brought back Elektra. Why can't they bring back Jennifer Garner and Alias?
Stop.
She was badass.
John doesn't get angry very often. I'm genuinely concerned for his mental state right now. I think we need to take a step back.
It's not good. It really isn't.
Well, I think I should come right out and say it. I think we love you, John. What you can do, John, is just enjoy your time watching a CW show. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Look, you know what? You've already pushed my buttons. I'm not going to actually watch it. That's the thing. I couldn't find a sixth show. And I was like, oh, screw it. I'll just put this one on the list. Let me just be honest about it. I'm not going to actually watch it. It's on the CW. I'm not going to go back and like get the CW just so I can sit down and enjoy this show that has Sophie Turner. I don't care. I just was trying to be excited about something, but then you had to bring up Alias, and here we are.
See, this is why I thought we were only doing five shows, because five feels manageable. Six feels like a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of TV to catch up on. And guess what? We still got so much more to go, because I'm up next.
And so we know there's going to be lots of talking here.
No, there's not.
Yeah, I'm actually going to step away for a second. I'll see how long it takes for me to get back.
I actually picked two that are already airing currently because I've actually seen a few of these episodes myself. But The English Teacher on FX stars Brian Jordan Alvarez, created and stars in the comedy. It's basically like a cable-ready Abbott Elementary. Alvarez plays a high school English teacher in Austin, Texas. That's important, who loves his job, but frequently gets stuck in the bureaucratic red tape that prevents him from being his true self. Because he's gay. English teacher humorously looks at freedom of expression, cancel culture, and innovators in their field who feel trapped by the rigid rules of civil service. Think like people want to cancel him because of things that he does, like kisses his boyfriend. And so there's a whole piece of paper letter thing that gets written about how he needs to like make an apology and all this stuff. So it definitely has a Dead Poet Society kind of field. But if the kids were staring at their phones during class the entire time. It's already out, obviously, on FX and Hulu. It comes out, I think it's on Tuesdays, I think is when it drops. So keep an eye out for that. But there's a couple episodes out already.
If the full price of admission were $10, what would you give it so far?
$650.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. Because that was one I was interested in watching. It's good enough for me to check out.
It was like the first episode was like, yeah, this could be good, but it's just missing something. The second episode was better. So yeah, I'm waiting for the third. If the third doesn't quite grab me, then maybe we'll be out. But it's good enough. Like if you need something to put on the background and laugh a little bit, it's good enough.
Okay.
I miss anything?
And Enrico Colanenti's in it as the principal.
Why didn't you start with that? What are you doing? You
gotta wait for the drop.
Jeez.
Now she's all about
the Veronica Mars love. Okay. If you guys are unfamiliar, Papa Mars.
Does Papa Mars do it for you, John?
No. It doesn't.
Not even when he was in Flashpoint?
He has no idea what we're talking about. He literally left and went to the restroom.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. And I've never watched one moment, 1 minute of Veronica Mars. I remember there was one time
what?
Back in back in like 2010 or something, I was in the middle of like a Walmart. It might have been 2010 because I think that's the last time I actively went into a Walmart because I wanted to. I was in a Walmart doing some like picking up some last minute gifts for Christmas or something, and I was listening to this mother and daughter complain about having to find the right season of Veronica Mars, and that's the, like, I don't know why that stuck in my head the way it did. I didn't even know that was a show.
I think you would really enjoy the first season, to be honest.
I think you would too. This is nuts.
I'm not going to watch it.
Because we told them to.
John?
No, don't.
What would it take to make this happen?
3 years, because that's what it took before he started watching Ted Lasso of us harassing him. So in 3 years, he'll watch the first season of Veronica Mars.
What would it take for you to watch 3 episodes?
You know what I'm also not going to watch? Alias. Never touched it. Not going to touch it. It's not going to happen.
What? This is why you hate your life.
We're going to go back to Veronica Mars.
Oh my gosh. Let's move on. Because this one is apropos for our John, because this is How to Die Alone, because that's what he's going to do by not watching good TV. The White Lotus is...
You know what? I'm going to die alone.
Lack of Veronica Mars.
With nobody bothering me, nobody getting in my face. It's going to be wonderful. Like, my dogs are going to be able to feast off of my body because I'm going to die alone. It's going to be great for them, too.
Well, hopefully you could die alone with White Lotus's Natasha Rothwell, who co-created this comedy with Vera Santamaria about an employee, JFK Rothwell, who has never been in love and decides to change her life by watching Veronica Mars after a near-death experience. The title makes it sound like a dour time, but it's actually a very reaffirming series about how you should live your life, Arjan. So check this one out. It's out now. It's on Hulu. That is How to Die Alone. What do you?
I'd much rather just lay down in traffic, honestly, than watch any of the things you're talking about right now.
You can't do that anymore, Arjan. They took that out of the program. I'm sorry. Kids were doing it, and they didn't take it out of the movie.
But they were being pansies about it and laying parallel to traffic. Oh, I was doing perpendicular.
Hold on.
All right, How to Die Alone. She wants to change her life, near-death experience. Sounds like a dour time. Sounds reaffirming. What do we think? Are we watching this one?
It sounds sad.
I've seen the trailers for this one. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I will actually give it the 3-episode treatment.
It could be like
But you won't give Veronica Mars 3?
God damn it. If you bring it up one more time, I'm calling up Aaron. Bring it up one more time.
He's going to tell you to watch it too.
No, he's not. He's going to be like, you can't keep talking about the same thing over and over again.
He is going to say that. But he's also going to agree that you need to watch the first season. I'm just saying.
Or
he's as big of a fan as we are.
Or hear me out. You can just watch Nobody Wants This on Netflix, because guess who's here? That's right.
I do want to watch that.
Veronica Mars. Kristen Bell herself is back with my boy, Adam Brody from the OC. Yes, that's right.
My boy too. Troy and I are like twinsies sometimes, and I love it. It's so cute.
So the way this works is like, so think of it.
Cute.
Think of this show.
You guys are gonna do each other's hair, and you're gonna talk about over your nails. And oh my god, it's so
while
adorable.
We watch Grey's Anatomy, and nobody, yeah,
for the 15th time.
Amanda, when you're in town, mani pedis with Grey's Anatomy, yes. with some mimosas, we're down.
1,000. That sounds phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yes, I've said that word like 6 times tonight also.
Phenomenal. Just like this show's going to be, because imagine a podcaster and a rabbi walk into a bar, and that's essentially the setup for this new rom-com from Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. She, Kristen Bell's character, is going to be running a sex advice podcast, and Adam Brody's character is a man of faith. That's right. They're both not very good at relationships, so you can see where this is going. Nobody Wants This is sort of based on creator Aaron Foster's life. I don't know, a little like Pound Town, maybe? I don't know.
What's Pound Town?
Oh my God, shut up.
Why did your knuckles crush each other? Oh. That's not how this is working.
It is.
Maybe you're doing it wrong.
Aaron Foster's life. Aaron Foster is the creator of this. It's based on her life and emphasizes that good things in life are hard, and that everyone in Los Angeles is extremely witty.
Why did you emphasize hard like that, Troy? What is going on right now?
I just thought it'd be fun. Everyone in Los Angeles is extremely witty.
It did imply something.
It did. It was intentional. Thursday, September 26th, dropping on Netflix. Check out The Bell and The Brody. It's going to be an amazing time. I can't wait.
You know I'll be there.
Not John, apparently. Because you probably didn't watch The OC either, did you?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Let me tell you, literally.
I like to chew my food, for God's sake.
That's not a CBS show. That was the OC is the single greatest show to introduce 2000s alt rock to the entire world. Okay. Death Cab for Cutie is like,
yeah, that is true.
Before they were the postal service, obviously, but you know, just saying.
So anyway, so I went to Dutch Bros this week and I pull up and I look at this woman who's serving me my drink and she does like her smile. She's like, hey, do you want to stop her? I'm like, yeah, please. Thank you. She hands me my drink and I look at her and I go, do you know who Misha Barton is? And she's like Misha Barton's age in the show. So she's like probably 19, 17 years old or whatever, something like that. And I was like, you look just like her. This is crazy. Have you ever seen The OC? She's like, no, I don't even know what that is. Now I feel old. Now I have aged 20 years. My hair's gray. I have a wheelchair. Things aren't good apparently, but it was so crazy. And it gave me such a heartfelt reminder of the show. I was like, oh man, I love The OC.
The OC was so good.
So good.
So good.
A little cheesy, don't get me wrong. It was the 2000s. You've got to give it credit for that.
I know. But like Rachel Bilson, there were so many characters, like careers are launched from that show. I mean, it was like the 90210 of the 2000s.
It was.
It was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Dawson Creek of the 2000s.
No, we don't. No, Dawson's Creek was weird. They don't, kids that age don't talk like that.
What, so that's where you draw the line is Dawson's Creek. You're like, oh, the Both OC. Oh, the OC. Yeah. Veronica Mars. Woo! Dawson's Creek. What is the matter with you
people? Veronica Mars has an A story, a B story, and a C story every week. And in the C story, they actually give you clues to the A story in the background. So you can actually look for the clues as the show airs along to the A story murder for the whole season. It is very well put together. It is totally worth your watch.
I hope one of those brand new Hummers run me over while I'm laying down in traffic.
It's probably going to be more like a Cybertruck.
Right after you finish Veronica Mars, that's fine.
Nope.
Oh my God. Moving on. The Franchise is coming to HBO. Notice I have not said Apple TV Plus once this entire time. The Franchise coming to HBO is created by Veeps, Armando Iannucci, and Succession's John Brown, and Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes. Whoop, whoop. The Franchise is going to do for superhero movie franchises what Veep did for the government. The showbiz satire follows the cast and crew of a blockbuster film as it faces challenges actually getting made and shot. And with Iannucci on board, hopefully we'll get a lot of creative curses about spandex and capes and a whole bunch of fun like that. It's an excellent cast. Himesh Patel is in here, Aya Cash, Jessica Hines. So definitely check this out. It's going to be premiering October 6th on
HBO.
How
did you leave out the most important person that's in this show?
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're not going to mention Billy Magnuson.
Billy Magnuson? How disrespectful. I was like waiting for you to say his name so I could go, yay.
I was leaving it for
you. Because I love Billy Magnuson.
I was leaving it for you so you can go, yay, Billy.
No, Troy, you forgot it or you intentionally didn't do it for a not good reason. And this is disappointing to hear.
Oh, I was trying to save time.
Troy.
You were trying
John,
to.
John, are you okay?
You were trying to save what?
Time. It's precious seconds. The listeners are leaving.
I'm going home.
Oh my gosh. We both quit.
What do you think? Are you interested in watching a TV show that goes behind the scenes of how to create a movie, a superhero movie?
You mean one that has Billy Magnuson in
it? Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to watch a show with Billy Magnuson in it.
I'm excited to see it for Himesh Patel. He's pretty funny in the trailer, so...
I'm excited for the entire cast. Aya Cash. I've heard it several different ways in my head already. If you don't remember, she was Stormfront in The Boys, and I just love the fact that she's in this. Billy Magnuson is someone you can't miss because in just about everything he's done, he's been amazing. So, Troy, shame on you for not bringing it up.
All right, going to Amazon Prime. It has been nearly 30 years since Morgan Freeman brought brainy forensic psychologist police detective Alex Cross from James Patterson's novels to life in the film Kiss the Girls. We won't even talk about Tyler Perry's version in 2012. But now Black Adam alum Aldis Hodge takes on Alex Cross in the new series, already picked up for a second season. I'm going to be playing him as a much younger, buffer version of the Driven Hero. Ladies, he looks good. Who digs into the psyche of killers and criminals to catch them? It's going to premiere on November 14th on Amazon Prime Video. I love the Alex Cross character. I think this is going to be amazing. Just curious to see what kind of bravado, gusto, humor, combo he brings as he starts interrogating people to the table.
I'm really excited about this. Aldis Hodge, he's somebody else I'd actually pay to listen to him read a phone book too.
Yeah, he's swaggy enough that he makes...
Swaggy. Swaggy?
Yes.
Like he has swag? Yeah. Because if he's swaggy...
He exudes swag. Right,
there you
I'm
go.
I'm leaving okay. the room again.
Better.
He has so much charisma there when he enters a room that it's engaging, it's contagious. So I think he'll have a really fun approach to his interrogation. I love the character as well. I love the concept of basically what was my childhood dream to understand the psyche of killers and people who do horrible things. And so I love to, and obviously catch them as well, trying to make sure that basically you're getting rid of as many as you can, removing them from the streets per se. And so I think it'll be really entertaining and fun, and he'll be a great star in it.
All right. And last but not least, Apple TV Plus. I know you were going to be sad if I didn't mention it at least once, but their new series Before is coming. That's right. Friday, October 25th. It starts with two episodes and then it'll go weekly. But Before is going to be atmospheric, psychological thriller, supernatural, mystery. And it stars Billy Crystal. Yes, Billy Crystal is going to be on TV. The comedian's going to be actually playing a child psychologist who works with a young boy who has an unusual connection to Billy Crystal's character's past. So the highly decorated cast also has Judith Light, Rosie Perez, Maria Dazia. It's going to be an amazing show. Check it out on Apple TV Plus. Make sure I get a credit on my next bill by doing so. But yeah, it looks intriguing. I mean, there's not much out there just yet, but what I have seen so far looks really, really like, yeah, I want to know what the M. Night, this is all about.
Well, I love the idea of Billy Crystal doing a TV series, and I love the story that they're putting behind it and trying to, I don't know, see what this past mystery is and how this is all going to tie together, because you get the psychological thriller and then you get supernatural, and I'm like, where are we going to meet at with this? So it's very interesting, has a little bit of intrigue and a mysteriousness to it. And it's on Apple TV Plus, so I know Troy will tell us on day one how it was.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Maybe day two. I'll watch it the next day. You like Billy Crystal on TV, Arjun?
Yeah, this is very interesting. I like the aspect of it. It's supernatural. Not the show, but in theory. It's got mysteries to it, so I'm all about it. So I'll be watching it for sure.
All right. What about returning shows? Anything you guys are interested in coming back?
Oh, this is where I lost my damn mind, because there are so many things that are coming back that I'm really interested in. I'm just going to go ahead and dump them all on you now.
Hit me.
So coming up on October 3rd from Amazon Prime, the gang is back together again. The Legend of Vox Machina. Can't wait. For those who don't know, this is the cartoon that's inspired by the very popular podcast of this from Critical Role. It follows a basically a D&D campaign, and they turned it all into a awesome animated series. So it's a lot of fun. October 16th, which happens to be the day in which I was hatched. We see the return.
The day in which you were hatched?
Yes.
Like
the day I was hatched.
Some kind of like velociraptor or something?
Yeah.
Baby chicklet?
Yeah.
Chirp, cheep, cheep, cheep.
Season two of Shrinking is coming back. So the cast, Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Jessica Williams, Krista Miller, it's nothing but greatness. Its co-creator is Brett Goldstein, which, if you don't know who that name is, which I only have really known that name for the last year, you get the idea what kind of DNA is behind that show, right? Right. On November 15th, Silo Season 2 is coming back.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. Rebecca Ferguson and crew are coming back for, I finally get the cliffhanger answered. I've been chomping at the bit for that one. And finally, November 2nd on Netflix, Arcane Season 2.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait for this. For those who don't know, Arcane is a series that's based off of Riot's League of Legends game. It's built in the universe in which they built or they play the game in. However, you do not need to be a fan of the game to enjoy the show, because the show doesn't do anything other than create a whole new story based off of characters from the game. It's Haley Steinfeld is in the show. Ella Purnell is in the show. It's fantastic. The first season is just beautiful, cinematic, artistically done animation, and this is no different. I'm excited for it. Of my shows that are returning, anyone want to land on any of these and talk about what's great about them?
I mean, Shrinking is amazing. Like, just acting class master. Like, yeah. Watch Shrinking. Silo, I can't say enough great things about the series. It's like Game of Thrones if it wasn't in medieval times. It's in post-nuclear war hell, basically, as they all live inside of this missile silo and all the classes based on what level you're on. Totally worth the watch for season one, as season two is around the corner. I can't wait to see what happens with the reveals that happened at the end of season one, how that plays out for season two. Like, I'm so excited for Silo to come back. That's probably not as much as Severance, but they haven't given us a date for Severance yet. But Silo for sure.
Actually, I just looked that up because I was trying to figure that out for myself. And
don't tease me. Is it coming for fall? Don't tease me.
It's coming. It looks like in January.
Well, then don't talk about it. It's not the place. It's not the time.
It's January. It's not the same. It's not the same as fall. January is not fall.
It's winter. Winter is coming too. Okay.
It's not even this year.
Anyway, very excited for Vox Machina. You and I both love the animated series and the original content. Shrinking, I've never watched. Same as Silo. I know. I tried Shrinking. I couldn't get into it. Maybe I'll give it another go, especially because if there's going to be Brett Goldstein, I want to watch it. And Silo, haven't gotten into. Arcane, the first season was phenomenal. I cannot believe I'm still saying this word. Somebody smacked me across the face.
Bet.
The first season of Arcane was so creative, so visually beautiful, like in a very, I don't even know how to explain the art. I'm sure John could explain it in like real technical terms, but it had a lot of animation to it, but your characters felt very real in a lot of ways. They didn't feel as animated as a lot of animated shows are.
They felt very alive. That's true. The rigging and all that behind the animation makes it feel very alive. The fact that you have actual brushstrokes on a lot of these characters makes it feel very alive. And what they did very well is they did transfer. One of the things that I do enjoy about the video game is that the character cards for each of these characters, there's about a billion of them now in the game, because every couple of weeks they come out with a new one. But the character cards are gorgeous pieces of art, and they managed to bring that over to a 3D animated layout, and it is, you see brush strokes, you see chiaroscuro, you see all that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I would tell you, even if you're not usually into animated series, which it's very limited for me, I loved that one. Like, I was waiting for the second season after the first one finished.
Well, I was not an Arcane nor a Vox Machina person, because Netflix and Prime Video, not two services I typically go to. So I am behind the train on those. But I am going to let people know that part two of the Outer Banks season is dropping soon. So make sure you check that out. October 10th, and then part two will be out on November 7th. So Outer Banks is continuing its run over there. Need to mention that Abbott Elementary, obviously a big show from last year, October 9th on ABC, but the one that everybody's waiting for in the Walking Dead universe is the return of the Daryl Dixon Better Version season two, because Carol is back, bitches. Yes. I don't know how she's going to find Daryl. Since last we left Daryl, he was in France. But it'll be interesting to find out what Carol brings to this piece of the Walking Dead universe. I cannot wait. Super, super good. Carol's so good. I love Carol. Carol could have her own show.
Carl? Carl?
No, not Coral. Coral's dead. We don't care about Coral.
Oh, because that was a little kid, the little boy, right?
Yeah, long time ago. Like, dang it. Many seasons ago.
I only ever watched the big spoiler episodes.
Oh, okay. I see.
So I remember I was actually watching it. I think it was one of the finales with Aaron and his wife, and there was like, I think there was like a tiger or something that came about, and I was like, why the is there a tiger in this show? Like, it felt so weird to watch that show with very minimal context.
Hey, Ezekiel was the king. The king had king's gotta have a tiger. Rawr,
for sure. That was so funny.
And I just want to point this out. Like, we could spend all day, all night talking to you all about fall TV, because there are 65 shows coming this fall, new and returning. 65.
What's the average in past, Troy?
The average in the past is it doesn't freaking matter because it's too much. It's all too much. 31 Fair. Shows. 31 shows alone premiering in September. 31. That's why it's called.
That's a lot.
That's why it's called fall TV season. So many shows.
What were the listeners' top picks?
The listeners' top picks were, in no particular order, we had, obviously, everybody is all about The Penguin and Agatha All Along. Those are our top two. High Potential's getting a lot of love. Matlock actually getting a lot of love, as well as Disclaimer. Huh. So definitely, most of the ones that we mentioned are on the list from the listeners. So yeah, Agatha All Along is the high one, of course. You know, MCU forever.
Beautiful.
And then, of course, DCU forever. So yeah, Agatha, Penguin, Matlock, Disclaimer, High Potential. We didn't really talk about Fight Night Million Dollar Heist that's coming to Peacock. That one's gonna be good too.
You know what? I was very interested in that one. It sounded really interesting.
Well, then you'll have to check it out on Peacock and let Amanda know how interesting it is, because she wasn't that interested in it. Otherwise, she would have freaking talked about it instead of stealing Aaron's stuff. Is that snotty enough for you? Anywho.
So I figure it's at least worthwhile to kind of talk about what it is so that way we don't leave it too blank. But Fight Night, the Million Dollar Heist, follows a return to boxing after dodging the draft. Ali beats Jerry Corey, and later that night, hundreds are robbed at his after party in a massive armed robbery. It's got Anthony B. Jenkins, Kevin Hart, Taraji P. Henson. We love you. And I'm very excited. It has Don Cheadle in it. It has obviously Sam Jackson in it. He's connected with this show. Terrence Howard is in it. Crazy stacked cast. It sounds cool. The trailer looks awesome. It's on Peacock. And that one was like, honestly, it was on my list. And I don't even know why I didn't talk about it, because I was like, oh, that sounds really good. And normally, I'm not a, I'm not somebody who can handle like boxing stuff. But it seems like we're focusing more on other things. So,
all right. I think that does it. Because we're not going to talk about 60 some shows on this thing. You can go look for those yourself. Plenty of articles out there to talk about what is all coming this fall for the 2024 season. I want to thank R. John and Amanda for being here this week.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
Thanks, Brian Williams, former host.
Hey, someone's got to keep the love alive, apparently. Either way.
Thank you, Troy, for leading us to success and for editing the podcast, because neither John and I want to do that.
No, but it'll be amazing. No. It will be out on time. And the best thing about it is that you'll get to watch all of the fall TV you want safely from the comfortableness of your couch. Because when you sit down to watch 61 shows, 31 of them in September, remember, buy popcorn.